Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Okay. It really is quite appropriate that we sing a Christmas song and we hear this, because on this day in which we talk about the angels, because it really is one of the primary jobs of the angels in order to give praise. And so we stand here in this world. We stand here as God's people. We give praise and honor and glory to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for what He has done. The great blessings that He bestows upon us. Even that of the angels. Yes, He does. It is a blessing to us. Angels are here in order to serve God and to serve us. But you know, the thing about it is, though, is as we do it, there are many, many myths out there about angels. And what I'm going to talk about a little bit is some of those myths that are here. Obviously, we see the Hallmark version of them, the little cute little cherubim and seraphim that have their little wings, that have their chubby little cheeks, and they do that, and it's all about love, isn't it? It's all about that. And that's one of the things that we think of today. Even the idea of what you see with the TV show, you know, Touched by an Angel and that. But out there in the world, there are so many different ideas about what angels are. And there's so many myths about what they are that what we need to do is really kind of take a few minutes to really think about those myths that are out here. In fact, as we have the children's message, like you said, you never know how a children's message is going to go. but Nicholas gave me the perfect answer to this. And one of those was that angels were people that have died. No, angels are not people. What we have to understand about angels is angels are created beings when God Himself created the universe. When He put everything in here in those 7 days of creation, what He did was He made the things both on heaven and earth, and as our scriptures tell us, that in heaven He created those things that are visible and invisible. And when we understand the things that are invisible, that are the angels that are out there. It's not a situation where people die and they become angels. That's what Touched by an Angel, I think, did. And some of these other shows that showed it, it kind of made us believe that angels were people that had work that they had to do here, and they had to do it. Let's take a look at Clarence. You know, most of it, I guess the kids, I don't know if they haven't seen it. Parents, you need to show them It's a Wonderful Life. But take a look at Clarence. He was this kind of cute, bumbling kind of guy that just kind of kept trying over and over, and he just couldn't earn his wings. And so he goes in and he tries to help George Bailey to get it. And one of the great myths about it is that he was a person and he had done that and he had tried to do all these things. And finally, what ended up happening was that he heard the bell ring because he did his job well. Well, see, that is a total myth about it is. When you hear a bell ring, it doesn't mean that an angel is getting their wings. It doesn't mean that. You see, we have to understand that angels were created, and they were created with a specific purpose. They were created with a purpose for God, one, to serve God and to serve and celebrate Him. But they were also given to us in order to serve us as well. We have to understand is what angels are. First of all, we take a look at the Greek. The word angel basically equals messenger. And that's what God used them. He used them to be messengers in order to tell people, to communicate to people what God's will was. He used them in order to serve Him in many, many different ways. And we look at it from it. First of all, we have to understand as messengers, the one place that we see it, we have to understand that there are many, many angels. In fact, as I was asked up here in a minute, isn't there about 1,000 angels? Well, 1,000 angels doesn't even get it. There are many, many angels. We don't know specifically how much, but Scripture talks about them as being a multitude. There are a multitude of heavenly hosts. In fact, we sang here just a few minutes ago the Christmas song, Gloria Excelsis, and it's all about when the angels came to the shepherds out there, and there were with them a multitude of heavenly hosts. They are many and they are powerful. We have to understand that the angels have powers that go beyond what mere human beings know and will ever have. They're very powerful beings. We see things and we see all types of things talk to us in Scripture about what they do and that. We see the great strength that they have. They communicate to us, just as here we see a picture of an angel coming to Joseph. We also see many other times in which angels come. Angels had come to Abraham to tell him and to talk to him about this city of Sodom and Gomorrah, to warn them about it. You have the angels that come to them. We see other times, obviously, the angels that came to the shepherds. We see the angel that came to Mary and to Elizabeth. We see these angels that come and they bring messages from God to us. And so God uses them as messengers in order to communicate with people. He uses them as ministers. In fact, we even know that on the cross, Jesus, and leading up to the cross, Jesus was ministered by his angels. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels were there ministering to him in order to keep reminding him of that message of salvation and what his purpose was. You see, ministers, they are there in order to serve God and to serve us. But angels also have other roles too, other tasks that they have. And in fact, some of these are tasks in which many times we don't want to think about, we don't want to look at. In fact, probably one of the biggest tasks that we see is you see up there on the screen, but as I also hold in my hand, one of the things that the angels do as being many and powerful is they wield the sword. They did wield the sword. In fact, one of the first places that we saw it was when the fall, when Adam and Eve came out of the garden. What did God do in order to protect the garden? He set before it an angel with a sword. So that if Adam and Eve was to try to get back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and to the tree of life, that he would basically extend it out to them and say, no, this is not for you anymore. And while we see that as being something that might be harsh, it really was a blessing. It was a blessing for Adam and Eve that they didn't eat of the tree of life. Because if they did, they would have been in sin for eternity. And so God used an angel to cast them out of the garden and to protect that so that they may not be in sin for eternity. So that they could live by the promise. We've seen other times in which God used angels in the sword in order to protect God's people. We see it with Elisha. We see it where there was over 1,000 men that were killed one night as they were getting to... They were coming to overthrow God's people. We see many times in which the angel wields the sword. And in fact, in our text for today, we hear it where the angel, St. Michael, is the one that leads the other angels in order to battle against the ultimate foe, and that is Satan himself. We see it to where he uses his might, and he leads the angels in, and he carries a sword. But every time that we see that the angels pick up the sword, it's first of all to serve God and to serve and to protect us. For it was there at that battle with St. Michael, a terrible battle where St. Michael and the other angels cast out Satan. Cast him out so that no longer did he have access to the heavenly realms. No longer did he have that power that was there. But we have to understand that God created angels. And there was a point in time in history when some of the angels rebelled. Sure, the angels now that are out in existence, the angels that we think about, are holy in God's sight. They're holy and only serve God, but there are those that wanted to serve themselves, and there is one angel himself that decided that he wanted to be in charge, and that was Satan himself. In fact, the name Satan means liar, slanderer. And you see, that's where his power really lies. Satan's power lies in that. And each day, him and those angels, roughly a third of the angels that followed Satan, daily try to attack us. Daily they try to take advantage of us. Daily they try to tempt us. But God uses his holy angels to protect us from them. Sure, there are temptations that come into our lives, and every once in a while Satan whispers, but yet the holy angels are there to guide, guard, and protect. They're there to watch over us. They're there to keep us safe. I would dare to say, I don't know how many times, and probably you don't know how many times, where our holy angels have protected us from the onslaught of Satan. How many times they have been there while we sleep, while we're awake, while we drive in our cars, or while we walk down the street. They're not there protecting us from the evil one. You see, the whole purpose of the angels are to do exactly this. They're there to serve God. And in the multitude of heaven, they serve. They give him praise and they give him honor. When we celebrate in just a few moments Holy Communion up here, all of heaven rejoices and praises God. And so we, as we're there, we sing as we laud and magnify his glorious name, just as the angels do in heaven. Singing, "Holy, holy, holy." You see, what we have to understand is God's blessing to us is the angels. He blesses us by the use of the angels. The angels are out there in order to serve us. He created them to serve him and to serve us, to watch over and to protect, to guide and to proclaim. Just as the angels protect. I don't know how many times that we hear the stories out there about angels. The reality of it is that sometimes the angels show themselves. We see them showing themselves to Abraham. We see them showing themselves to the shepherds. We see them showing themselves to Elijah. We see them showing themselves many, many times. And even today, we hear stories about people that have seen angels, or they think that they have seen angels. But the reality of it is we never know when an angel is going to show themselves. We never know when an angel is present. For most of us, we may never see or recognize an angel. In fact, Hebrews tells us this: be careful as you entertain. Entertain with hospitality, for you never know when you might have entertained an angel. We never know. We never know. Does that mean that they're going to pop up all the time? No, it doesn't mean that. Does that mean that as we see the angels, that they're going to necessarily come to us? No, it doesn't. But there have been times, there have been stories. In fact, the last story I think that I heard about it was about a young lady that got into a car crash. This was only a couple of months ago. And while in this car crash, it was a terrible crash. They couldn't get her out. And in fact, when the firemen and the policemen came, they couldn't even try using the jaws of life. Something happened to it, and they still couldn't get her. And the thing that she did is she prayed to God, say, "Please help me, get me out of this. Help me, Lord." And all of a sudden, some guy comes up and starts talking to him and figures out a way in order to get her out of the car. And she gets out, and she's safe, and she's harmless. But when she went back to thank him, it was nowhere to be seen. He disappeared. No one knew about who it was. Nobody knew who this person was. Nobody had even said they had seen him. Could that have been an angel? We hear at times about people being in car accidents in which they should have been killed. But yet they make it out safely and they say that they feel a presence. Someone watching over them and protecting them. Does that mean that every time that we get in a car accident, there's going to be an angel there? No, not every time. Does that mean that we're not going to face temptations of this world? No, it's not. But at the same time, I'm not going to say that the angels aren't going to come to us. Now, if you're driving down East River Road and all of a sudden a multitude comes out and you're the only one that saw it, you need to come talk to me. Okay? We need to speak a little bit. But yet at the same time, we have to realize that angels are there and they are in existence. They are there to help us even in our last breath. Sometimes God will send his holy angels to help us to cross over, to go into heaven. See, God uses them in order to serve us, in order to reassure us of the promise of Jesus Christ. In fact, we can't even forget the most graceful, the greatest of those angels, and that is the Malach Yahweh, the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ himself, the only angel that will receive praise. You see, angels will not take praise, for they are here to serve, and they always point to Jesus Christ. In fact, when we understand it from our text today, Jesus says, the angels of the children are always looking to heaven. We have to realize that our angels are always looking to Christ Jesus. They're always looking to the Father, the Heavenly Father. They're always looking to God first and then serving us through that. He gives it. The most precious thing to God is are those little children that come to faith, that come to us. Do you doubt the faith of a little child? I guarantee you that when we see them sing, Jesus loves me, and we may get to see that in a couple of weeks. I don't know whether it's Jesus loves me or what the song they're going to sing, but when they sing about Jesus, they believe it. There's no doubt in their mind that when they do it. In fact, we've got a little girl that's in our preschool that didn't know who God was, didn't know who Jesus, never heard of it before. And it was kind of neat because when she heard about Jesus, she just believed it. She just simply believed that he was going to be there. And so she went looking for him throughout the church. And it's neat to be able to point him to and say that Jesus is in the scriptures. Jesus is in our hearts. Jesus is here in the Holy Sacrament. Jesus is here amongst us. But that's the start of it, is to have blind faith that they understand. And that's precious and dear. And that's the greatest of heaven. But the other thing about it is, though, is that as old as we are, even though we've become cynical because of the world, that we have to realize that through our baptism, we have also become children of God. We might look a little bit bigger. We might have a little gray hair on the roof. We might have, you know, all those things that come with aging. But the reality of it is that each one of us are children of God, and you know it. You know that you're a child of God and you believe that. And by believing that the greatest blessing to us is this. That he sends his angels to watch over us and to bless us. To keep us. In fact, Martin Luther's prayer is this. The prayer that he says is this. Send your holy angels that they may watch over us, that we may come into a new day. You see, one of the myths out there is that we have but one guardian angel. But that's not necessarily true, because what it says is that he will command his angels to watch over you. You see, that's why he uses his angels, in order to watch over us as his people. And we have to realize that one of God's greatest blessings to us outside of the forgiveness of sins is that he gives us the angels to watch over and to protect us. That he gives us the angels in order to guide us and direct us. That he gives us those angels in order to communicate his will for us. And that they're there. They're there in heaven and they're in a multitude. But you know, there is one other thing that we have to understand about angels as well. Angels experience joy. They experienced joy. For the scriptures tell us that when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices in that. And what he's talking about is the angels, because the angels share in our joy when a sinner repents. When we come to the table and we sing about God's praises, the angels rejoice. They feel joy in that. And so what greater thing than we have to have those joyous angels that are around God's throne, that we are singing along with them. And that's really what our liturgy and that's all about. That's why we sang this morning, you know, Glory in Excelsis. That's the song of the angels, and we sang that song as well. And what a great thing for us to do, to participate with the heavenly hosts, with all those who have gone before, singing the same song, experiencing that very joy of heaven. And so we look to God's created beings, those who He has blessed us with to protect us, to watch over us, and to guide us. So the next time that you hear this, rather than thinking about an angel getting his wings, I want you to give thanks to God for the great blessing that He has given us. Simply one way in which God provides and takes care of us each and every day of our lives. So, an angel didn't get his wings, but an angel is rejoicing. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.